Hello, everybody, and welcome to Limitless TCG Podcast, episode 28. I'm your host, Connor Hayward, and joining me, as always, my regular co-host, Robin Schultz. How are you doing?
Yeah, been a quiet week. Doing all good. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's actually kind of cool. It's been a while since it's just been me and you on the show. We've had a couple of guests the last few weeks, which is always exciting. But this week, quiet week. You know, not much Pokemon stuff happening. But preparing for the Players' Cup, which we'll be discussing throughout the episode. Before we get into that, though, if you would like to take a moment to support us in some way, shape, or form, the best way is to go over to patreon.com/limitlesstcg. There are three different tiers of pledges there with various rewards. And all of that money really goes towards helping us do a lot of the projects and helps fund a lot of our projects here at Limitless. And if you can't afford to support us monetarily, feel free to just give us a review on iTunes or wherever else you can review the podcast. It makes us easier to find, and we can continue growing the number of listeners, or even recommending it to friends who are getting into the game or stuff like that, just so we can continue growing the audience. Helps us long-term as well. But yeah, quiet week. Players' Cup prep is underway. We had the email, I want to say, Thursday last week, I think, came through.
I don't remember, but yeah, we got there.
Yeah, so we had the emails were sent out last week with the registration links. We sign up on RK9 and then over on Battlefy, was the platform. All sorts of information in there, which I guess if you didn't qualify but want to know about how the Players' Cup is going to work, you don't see the document, so... yeah, there's a lot of information in there that's actually kind of interesting if you... want to follow along with the event. There's going to be a lot of Pokemon happening. It's not going to have a live stream. It's streamed, I think, next Friday, I think, is the stream.
Yeah, something like that. And still don't know how they're going to stream it. I guess they will ask some people to record their matches. But yeah, I don't know if they have selected those people yet or like how they're planning to do that, like, no idea. But yeah, there's supposed to be some kind of stream.
Yeah, but I guess for everyone who wants to follow along live, there will be... Well, we know the start times for the events, and we've been told that we are free to stream our own tournament runs. So basically from about 10:30 UK time, or 11:30 CEST, on Saturday until... sometime the next day, there will be Twitch Pokemon, I imagine. Because Europe kicks it off. Then we hand over to NA at some point. Well, NA starts at around about the same time. We hand over to LATAM first, right? Then it's NA.
Yeah, I didn't look at it. I didn't exactly look at it, but it's... Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's basically... like, when one region ends, then the other region starts. So, if enough people from each region stream their runs, there will be, like, content all day, I guess.
Are you planning on streaming?
I don't. Like, I mean, I guess I could, but no, I haven't really planned that. Might maybe record, and if I do well and then upload it, I don't know.
I might stream... I found out the other day that I'm actually supposed to be working round two. I start work for a couple of hours. I have like an hour's worth of work I need to do at round two time, roughly. Which is a pain, but it's like a text. I need to do some stuff where I'm in a text chat, which I can do whilst playing PTTGO on the other screen. I just can't stream at the time, and then as soon as I'm done with that work, I will probably start streaming, providing I haven't lost 2-0, I've gone 0-2 and dropped. Because it's a double elim, which means it's a really weird tournament structure, because I think it's 4 or 5 rounds, I think it works out, as you play on day one, depending on like what your plan is. Like if you win your... if you're in the winner's bracket and stay in the winner's bracket, I think you only play 4 rounds. But if you're actually in the loser's bracket, I'm not entirely sure. I think it works out as being 5. So it's going to be interesting, because it's an extra incentive to not do poorly, I guess, because you have to stay there for longer. So it's going to be stressful. And Double LM Best of Three is a weird format, because it feels like you don't want to take anything with an auto loss, but it's the first time we've had anything Double LM Best of Three, right, that I can think of.
Yeah, taking auto losses is not really like great when you can't really afford to lose. Like, if you lose early, that's like you have to win so many more games to make it through. So even playing something like Pika Rom, which like has like pretty even matchups, but then maybe that like one pretty unfavorable against Persephalon, that's already kind of risky. I would probably rather play a deck which doesn't really have, like at least on paper, doesn't really have forced unfavorables and like a bunch of even matchups instead.
Yep, it's one of those. It's the one time where I look at the like in my matchup columns when I write. You put all your decks down and you write what they think they're gonna be. I'm looking for the one with as many 5-0s, like 50-50s, as I can physically find. which is a weird, like, normally you're looking for, okay, what beats the format? But now you're going, okay, what doesn't lose to the format?
Yeah, that's probably, like, an approach that I would prefer.
Which is, to me, this is basically saying we pick Dragapult, because Dragapult is the only deck I feel that has that really even 50-50 against basically everything. It doesn't feel particularly unfavored anywhere.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to play against Malama VMAX suddenly or like Dark Box, so it should be fine.
I hope not. Please don't start the dark pipes ruining my Dragapult fun now. We only have a couple more weeks before Darkness Ablaze drops and Dragapult is consigned to the history books. Entirely.
Yeah, it will be rough for it after the Players Cup.
But with the Players Cup, I think Dragapult is a really safe pick. Like you said, there's a lot of other decks that have one bad matchup. So there's like five decks that are in that format, right? There are five decks that I think are serious considerations for most people. You have Dragapult, we have Pika Rom, we have the two Zacian builds. And then you have Baby Blounds, from my perspective.
And Spiritomb is also a pretty serious contender, I would say.
That's true.
I usually just like count Zacian as one, and then like have Spiritomb in the top five as well.
See, I did consider Zacian as one, but its matchups feel so different as ADP versus the combo that I honestly feel that they actually end up having... they are effectively two decks that they work in the same kind of way, but the actual flow of the deck is different enough that I would honestly consider them pretty unique.
Yeah, like, and they're kind of different, but I think both have a lot of very close evenish matchups. I don't think there's like a huge difference in like the matchup spread, but yeah, they are like different decks, I guess. But yeah, close enough to just like include Zacian in my like top five.
So those are the five decks, and like all of those have matchups which I would say are tough against one of the other five, except maybe Dragapult, but Dragapult doesn't then have the favored against any of the other five. Depending on where you sit on the Spiritomb matchups, because the matchup is either very unfavored, favored, or 50-50.
I would say, assuming the other decks don't like specifically tech against you, I would say Dragapult has the best matchups, like slightly favored against basically everything. I think Dragapult is like the strongest deck, but it can struggle if Exation decks put a lot of counters like Metal Goggles and Zamazenta, and it's just like a lot of cards that kind of can hurt it, like also healing cards and other like ADP with Melolana, like. Picar of Melolana, like there's some like text that can like in the right moment just really like really bad for Dragapult, but like just like the archetypes, I think it's probably like the strongest, and it also like it can like even against the Countess Kenway, it's not like that bad, but it has those like comeback mechanics built in and a lot of other cute stuff. So yeah, I think it's like slightly above the rest, but like not by a big margin. Like,
it's like tier one, and then everything else like tier 1.1. It's like not tier two. It's such a small difference. But I honestly think Drago is like technically or like the overall strongest deck right now, which is fine. It's good to have at least one that we know is probably the best bring. But the rest, it's honestly a personal like because they all have such different ways of playing out, and they all have really different ways that they run. Like as much as I really have been enjoying playing a lot of Draga, I've also played a lot of Baby Blounds the last couple of days to try and so I do this to try and convince myself that certain decks aren't good. I used to do it a lot with Greninja, but right now I'm having a lot of trouble with this because every time I play Blounds, I'm like, oh. It keeps working, and I keep winning, and it's kind of disgusting in how it works. Maybe I should just play this. And this is dangerous thinking. It's thinking that I know I should try and avoid, but it's really good.
Yeah, like Bastifalon, I think it struggles against... Like, it can struggle in Zacian if Zacian takes the Tapu Fini against it. And also other decks can put in Tapu Fini, but they usually don't. So it's like combo Zacian mostly. And Dragapult can be hard to beat, like they also usually like try this something like power plants and stamps. That's kind of good against Blacephalon, but yeah, I've thought a lot about Blacephalon and I like don't dislike it. Usually I wasn't a big fan of a deck like historically, but I think currently it's in a very decent spot.
Yeah, which is worrying because it's just one of those decks I don't want to play against because I get really angry because I know it will work and I'll go plant stamp and they'll still hit it all. I'm like, oh well, okay, today was not my day, but still it's fine. Then so Pika has been in the format forever now, frankly. When was it out? Team up. It's basically been like one of the best cards since then. It's been insane.
Yeah, it's always kind of in tier 1, like tier 1.5 at least.
And again, it's so consistent and so aggressive. Like, so even the decks where it's unfavored, I don't think beat the turn 1 or turn 2 4 blitz. Like, if you hit that early 4 blitz, it's pretty much game over for all the decks, really. Like, there's not many decks that can keep up with that kind of pressure. And it's just so consistent at doing that now that it's starting to feel that, you know, if you just want to know pretty quickly how this game is going to go, it's a pretty safe bring and it's very solid. And it has enough tricks up its sleeve to be able to kind of find its way through other matchups if it needs to. I don't love it against Spiritomb, though. Spiritomb can be tough because of the Baby Buzzwole.
Yeah, Pikachu struggles against Blacephalon and against Spiritomb, like against both single prizer decks. So I would say it's kind of risky. But yeah, its matchups against the rest are fine. Like it has been doing like fine against Dragapult for the most part throughout the format. And I would say it's also even against Zacian, depending on like the Zacian list. Yeah, it's definitely fine, but the single prizer decks will show up in a Players Cup for sure, right? So I think playing Pikachu is pretty risky overall.
Yeah. Well, we've already mentioned the Blounds, the other single prizer, Spiritomb. Now, I was thinking about this the other night. It's weird, Tomb, right? It's A lot of fun to play, B, clearly very strong, but I never see it on ladder. It's one of the few decks that I still feel is underrepresented in the format. It's clearly very good. It's cheap enough that everyone could play it if they wanted to. I just feel, I don't know, but people are reluctant to pick it up somehow. I think people think the Dragapult matchup is worse than it is, so maybe that keeps them off it. Or it's not the very straightforward deck to play because you have to be doing things like building up multiple spirit tombs, working out, okay, oh, you know when you can use your sledgehammers and your ultra beast attackers, but having to set it up in such a way that your opponent has to play into it and get as much value from it, it can be really difficult to play. And I don't know if that's maybe keeping it slightly less represented in the format. I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah, I think it's Fear of Dragapult, but the matchup really isn't that bad. It's like it's fine. And yeah, I would say it's maybe like slightly favored against Bracephalon because it's like it's a bit easier to just keep up with Chaos, and also it's like easier to gust while also doing damage, so you have better access to like Bracephalon's GX Pokemon. So but yeah, it's still pretty even against Bracephalon. And yeah, Zacian is a problem if they play the ADP version. Like, that's a pretty bad matchup.
So, I've started seeing a few of the fairy Mimikyus sneaking into lists, specifically to deal with ADPs, which is pretty cool.
I don't think it does anything. Because if they ultimate raid before you knock it out, you already lost, kind of. Like, And you can gust around the ADP and then KO it with Mimikyu, but yeah, that's like, I don't think that works consistently. And you would also have to like have a way to like a counter gain or something, right? To just attack with it. I don't think that really does much. Like the Yveltal is it helps a little bit because then you have easier Tweet KOs against ADP. You can do like poke it for 40. Turn one with a Great Catcher or something, then finish it with Yveltal. That's not bad. Yeah, but overall the matchup is like not. It's just kind of rough. You have to like have a really good opening and like take a prize turn one or attack the ADP immediately, then KO it.
It's also it gets indirectly hurt by a lot of other decks, like techs that the Zacian players might want to include anyway, right? So the Zacian players might want to be playing the Zamazenta for Dragapult. Well, you kind of benefit from the Zamazenta discarding the energy and KOing, so you can get around Black Market. The fact that all the Zacian players are trying to take like two prizes in a single turn, like, you know, at a time, means that you can kind of play around at the Ultra Beast options to kind of deny options there. It just kind of gets weirdly teched against by being a deck that in the format, because the things that you would detect for other matchups kind of help you.
Like, if Zacian has odds against Black Market, yeah, the matchup is probably also, like, at least slightly unfavorable. So, yeah, the Zacian matchups is, like, it's, like, probably not favorable, at least, and also against, like, Dragapult, that's also, like, more on the, like, more difficult side, but still, all those matchups with talk about, like, also with Pika Rom, they might be unfavored, like, for those decks, but they're not unfavored by a lot. It's not like in some past formats where you basically had all the losses. Like, here it's more like, yeah, those matchups, you're probably not winning them most of the time, but it's, like, not, like, a horrible matchup by any means.
Yeah, they're, like, 45 55s, as opposed to, like, 30-70 bad. You know, it's like, okay, most of the time you're going to lose, but it's only slightly. And a lot of these matchups can be really flipped quite nicely by certain tech cards, right? So the choice of playing Goggles or Pan can make a big difference for Zacian's matchups.
Yeah, with Zacian you have a lot of options. Like, Zacian's probably the deck that I'm going to play because I've been playing it in, like basically since the set came out. And yeah, I still think it's pretty good. I don't think it's as strong as Dragapult, just like naturally, like because it's a bit less consistent. Like you have those patches and they need to line up well. Sometimes you just have those really clunky hands. Well, with Dragapult, the deck's just like smoother, like more smooth overall. But yeah, Zacian has a lot of, like, if Zacian draws optimally, I think it beats everything. And it can also include a lot of techs for matchups, specifically at Dragapult, where you need them like the most, I guess. And yeah, it's not overwhelmingly strong against any matchups, but then again, no deck really currently is.
I mean,
so Yeah.
I mean, we say that no deck is... We don't know. People may have worked things out. This is traditionally NAIC season, where people have decks they had planned that they might want to kind of dust off and go, okay, well, it's the end of format. Let's just go win the Players' Cup so I can go get my... get into the top 16. So they might... There might be some secret decks. I somewhat doubt it. The only kind of secret deck I could see right now is maybe like a stall variant or something that people have been sleeping on, because the format and the tournaments that we've had so far in the format haven't really favored stall all that much, whereas the Players' Cup kind of does.
Yeah, it's hard to build a like rogue deck, anti-meta deck, because there's just so many decks that are played. It's not... We don't only have like Dragapult and Zacian, you also have to worry about Picarom, which is quite different from those other decks, and you also have to worry about Vassifalon and Spiritomb, and then you might also maybe not take an auto loss against stuff like Mill, which you might run into still, or like other weird decks like Darkbox. There's a lot of different decks, so it's hard to build something that's aimed to counter the meta. More realistic would be something that's just really strong but undiscovered, but yeah, those decks don't really show up much these days, because it's just like all kinds of decks are at least in some way explored, usually like at least for some YouTube content or whatever. And then if it's actually pretty good, then chances are that people will find out sooner than later.
Well, we've also had that thing where, because we had so many online qualifiers, we have seen, right? That's basically more regionals, like in terms of effectively like regional size events than we would normally get in a format. Like this, because there were the two Limitless Invitationals, plus then we've had all the Sunday Opens and the Neopai Invitational, and stuff like that. So we've had quite a few options from that, right? Of just so many if something undiscovered was to have been discovered, I think we would have seen it, because we've just had so many people play online events right now where you can afford to go, I'll just play something weird for the weekend, you know. And
there's also not much reason to hold back decks, because the Players' Cup is it's nice if you make it in the top four. That's the top four prizes are really good, but you can't really like expect to get there, because you still have, even if you have a really, really good deck, going like, I don't know, 10-1 or something, it's still going to be really difficult. And yeah, and it's not like you like win an international or anything. It's like you get a trip to international, which is a great prize, but like not the... like comparable to what you could win at some IRL tournaments.
Well, that's the other thing, is it's somewhat hard, and I don't imagine some of the top players are necessarily as motivated for this as they would be for like another size, like bigger event, right? Because yeah, the prize is cool, but it's not mind blowing. It's not a chunk of the money. Or, you know, it's also a little bit of like, you know, the recognition from winning, like, I don't know if making top four of your region's Players' Cup thing would have the same recognition as, I don't know, making top 16 or like top 8 at a regional or something. It's kind of like, because it's just completely unheard, like it's completely new format. So in terms of reputation,
like winning the Players' Cup or making it into the top four, it's probably still pretty prestigious, I would say, like on the level of winning a regional, like at least the win of a Players' Cup for sure. Like that has to be like as good as winning a regional, basically. And in you basically get a trip to Australia, right? And that's like you're someone from Australia wins, then I guess they will choose a different one. But for anyone else, it's basically you get to go to Melbourne, which is, I mean, if you win a regional, you don't have much more than that. So, and yeah, I think the Players' Cup is still like a big enough deal for like people to care about.
I mean, just in terms of I'm hoping it creates sort of an atmosphere for, like, we've already seen that if there are online events, people will A, play them, and B, create content for them. So I think that might be something that we can still get out of the Players' Cup. Is, you know, it's kind of pushing a slightly more esport. Like, yeah, go ahead. There's an online tournament. Make your own stream. Kind of get your name out there as a content creator plus player or whatever. Which is only going to help grow the community, right? Because, again, ideally, get some engagement, get more people watching it.
Yeah, like the amount of games that get played is less than in like a Swiss tournament. So, like, if you stream, you're not gonna get more than like 3 or 4 matches a day, even if you make it all the way. So, it's like it's not a ton of content, but I guess it's still over like 3 weekends. So,
I mean, we've even seen that on YouTube and like the article websites and stuff. There's lots of articles out. Oh, this is completely the wrong place to plug it, but there is now an article on the Limitless TCG website from Kevin about his winning run. So if you haven't read that, he just kind of surprised us with that, right? He just dropped us a message on Discord. He was like, "Hey, I wrote an article." We were like, "Cool." So it's actually a really good read. So if you haven't read it yet, I do heartily recommend it. It's a really interesting insight to his approach.
Yeah, and also some insight into just like the Spiritomb deck if someone wants to play Spiritomb at the Players' Cup, which is like probably a decent choice at least.
I kind of had written off Tomb, but it's so fun to play that maybe I'll just play it because I don't care. I'll just have too much fun playing it.
And it got first and second in our tournament, which was 16 really good players.
Yeah, but I think it may have been somewhat under the radar then, and people now have tested against it more. I don't know. This is the issue with bringing these kind of slightly roguey decks. Like, because I think Tomb is kind of the definition of a rogue deck. It targets the decks in the format best, for the most part.
But it's also just a really good deck.
Yeah, exactly.
In its own.
This is, side note, this is something that slightly bothers me about rogue decks. Because rogue decks doesn't mean bad deck. It means deck that has a specific role in the format to beat the best decks. And people use it to mean, you know, circles, you know, weird decks that they've gone, "Oh, but this is my rogue deck." I'm like, no, this is just a deck. But it, I think, is a really cool thing. And I actually, it's a cool deck to play. So it's always one of those ones where good players make it look really strong because there's a lot of sequencing and decisions in there that need to happen. So I'm hoping, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see it.
Yeah. And honestly, I think all of the 5 decks we've been talking about, all of them can make it through to the final 16. You just have to, like, if you're comfortable with one of those decks and, like, think you can play them well enough, then, yeah, just go for that. You don't need to switch decks currently. It's not like one deck is overly dominant or anything. Like, you can really, do well with either of those.
And is the same deck... It's going to be so weird, because we're basically playing the same tournament over the course of several weeks. It's just kind of messes with my head a little bit of, you're gonna, like, if you win your 4 matches this week, cool, well, the next week, same deck, you just continue on as you were. So you'll spend a week at 4-0 and then go from there. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, that's gonna be weird. It's like, that's something new.
And I guess if it's open deck list, actually, so this is the point, right? If it's open deck list, can you see what your opponents are playing the week after?
Yes, I think so. Because the bracket doesn't change between weeks.
So does that mean you have a whole week to just like go, okay, right, so if he plays this card, I do this. And just like
I guess.
That's so weird. Oh,
and that's also interesting. Like, it's probably like there should be some very high level of gameplay in this tournament, which is nice.
Well, and on top of that, right, I guess if all the deck lists are open and you can see everyone's, you can go through and make a format chart for the week and you could work out, okay, well, halfway through the tournament, you go, well, okay, I'm unfavored against Blounds. Blounds is 9% of the whole format. So I'm unfavored against 9. Like, you can work out as you go about, okay, well, how many people do I have to dodge?
You can even like just look at your specific bracket, like who's I'm gonna play if I win, like what, maybe they are playing a mirror on the other side of the bracket. Then you already know your matchup like after it.
This is gonna get intense. Of just everyone's just going, okay, right. So next week I'm against Dubwall because Philip convinced someone. Now, Philip, you invented Dubwall. Why? And just kind of pick apart matchups as you go. It's gonna be that could lead to some really good games.
I hope I make it into second week because that sounds fun.
Yeah, I actually do. I kind of want. I need to make it the second week now, just so we can all be in the WhatsApp chat going, okay, well, who are you playing next week? Okay, and after that. Yeah, it's gonna be weird, basically playing the same tournament for several weeks, but. From a viewer's perspective, and I'm hoping they can do this from a kind of production and casting standpoint, is I want it to tell a story, right? Because you have the same story of someone's run through a tournament over several weeks. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but if everyone they pick just goes like a swift 0-2, that would be unfortunate.
Again, we had this issue running the Limitless Invitational where we had to pick people to stream that we would jump around and then we'd... kind of sometimes quite quickly go, oh, well, there's no point tuning into them anymore. Never mind. Because, you know, rough start to the tournament or something, or, you know, forgetting to sign in, then it can add some challenges to it. But I guess the players who need to record will be contacted, I guess, Thursday, because that's when, or like, no, probably Wednesday, because that's when the registration thing closes.
Maybe they just tell everyone that they have to record. If they don't, then yeah, sorry, you're DQ'd.
Good, I just had a new hard drive delivered this morning. I will record.
I mean, there was probably something in the FAQ or rules that says that players should be able to record their matches or something. Like, maybe is there? I don't know. Yeah, I actually have no idea. Yeah, we will have to wait and see, I guess, how this stream thing works out.
I mean, we can always just message some of the judges, because they will be able to help us. I don't think it mentions anywhere about streaming or, like, being able to record. I guess they're just hoping some people have decent enough internet connections and computers that they will be able to do so. Yeah, some interesting things, and I'm actually really looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to playing in a tournament with some stakes, because... the last regional or similar event that I played in would have been Turin, I think.
That's a while ago.
I want to say it was Turin playing Zorrock.
Zorropod was the play. Yeah.
It was the play, but Zorrock was good fun. No. Or did we play Buzzrock? No, we played Buzzrock. We played Buzzrock for that one.
Buzzrock players.
Look, again, if I'm going to do well, I have to accept that I'm going to have to high roll someone, so I may as well just try and go all out.
Nah, I'm just joking. Buzzrock was fine.
Buzzrock was actually really good fun. I miss Lycanroc, man. What a card. I saw my full arts in my binder the other day, and I was just like, just come back. Just you.
Yeah, Zorak players had to like trash talk Buzzrock players, and that was just the rule.
And then... oh, no, I played Prague. I played Prague afterwards. We played Zorropod. Yeah. Last tournament was Prague, which was also ages ago, because this is when I first met most of the Limitless guys. So, yeah. Long time ago. But it was fun. Looking forward to being able to play a tournament again. An official tournament at that. So.
Oh, are you just playing Dragapult? Or are you still considering Avadex?
I don't know. I think I'm leaning towards Dragapult now, and I have a few techs in mind that I want to try. I still am not 100% on. The more I've tested with labs, with Lysander's labs, the more I like it. it's a really weird inclusion, but I think that suits it. And there's a really nice interaction between the scoop up block, Mr. Mime, and Lysander labs, which basically means it turns off Jirachi's effectively. For most people, because if you're only playing, like, you only have so many switch, so if you can't scoop up net your Jirachi to get out the active, and you can't skateboard it to get out the active, you have to burn switches to Jirachi after KOs, which is actually kind of nice, because like against Zacian, they don't want to do that because they need to keep the switches for Zacian. Then against Tomb, honestly, that matchup becomes so free with Lysander's Labs, it's hilarious. Blounds also somewhat struggles with the Jirachis then. You just have to make sure you can KO the Araucario directly. So it's not a card I was expecting to like as much as I am, but it does honestly feel like it could work. And frankly, I don't like the other stadiums enough to think they're worth playing. So
yeah, it's like much worse against Picorum than the other stadiums, I guess. Also, like Lab is just like you don't want.
So it turns off the Big Charm, which means so it can turn the two. You can keep always, or you can always have the 2-hit knockout on the Raichu. The only issue is that you can't easily move your paralyzed Dragapult.
So are you playing switches in your protest?
Yeah. So you play two switch. I've got two switch in instead of the three board.
Yeah, it's still difficult to just like draw a switch when you get paralyzed.
Yeah. But that's the only real option. But then 9 times out of 10, they end up putting the Big Charm on the Picarom early anyway, and they don't put anything on the Raichu, so you kind of get away with it there anyhow because you don't care so much. So
you know, I wouldn't even expect Picarom list to play Big Charm. Maybe some of them.
I think I've seen more lists playing. Well, if they're playing any tech against Dragapult, it's almost always Big Charm. And I've seen a fair few with it now. But I don't know if it's necessarily the. It's not like in a standard list, it's definitely teched, but it's worth thinking about.
Yes, it's good against ADP Zacian, right? And that deck has been. Like, it got more popular again. Like, of course, not as popular as it was last format, but it's more like an even split between Composition and ADP Zacian these days, I think, than just one of those two like having a bigger share.
Yeah, and the ADP matchup spread is really nice. I played a few games with it. Get my eye in with the deck. I always like doing this. If I think I'm going to play against it, I want to play a few games with a deck just to kind of go through the motions and go, okay, well, when do I struggle? Like, what does my opponent do to make me go, huh, this has gone poorly? And played a few games with ADP Zacian. Deck is so good. It's so strong. Three prizes is just like, ugh.
And I think it's fine, but like still nothing special, I would say. I wouldn't play it over Composition, like I won't, but it's definitely a fine deck. It has a lot of even matchups. Like I like Composition more because where you have like the games are like a bit slower, you have more decisions to make. And like with ADP, it's sometimes like, for example, against Bill Blown, you just like you GX and hope. You just hope you don't get KO'd. If you get KO'd, you lose. If you don't, you win. It's like, I feel like with Composition, you have more like power over the game, which I like a bit more. But yeah, both decks are fine. ADP is in it. There's a reason why it did so well like last format. It's a pretty good deck. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's a few decks, and if you're gonna be, so you're probably on Zacian. I haven't spoken to too many other players about what they're gonna are like planning on bringing yet, but it's all up in the air from what I can tell.
I've been struggling a bit with Picarom lately as playing Zacian, like debating putting in a Mew, but I mean it's not like the matchup is really like that hard. It's just it's really hard to like deal with pressure a lot of times. Like they turn one full blitz or even like turn two full blitz if they went first, it's and then there's attach all active, you can't KO the Picarom, they attack bolt immediately, and like from that point it's generally really hard to keep up with Picarom if they don't whiff anything. So yeah, considering putting in the Mew. Yeah, but other than that, I'm pretty happy with Zacian of Composition overall.
Yeah, I think we're at the point in the format where people have settled on their deck as well to some extent, right? Of if you've been playing the same deck for the last few weeks, because like obviously if you played the Players Cup and like had to play the tournaments in the Players Cup and grind, you've probably played a few decks in doing that, or like found a deck that you liked grinding those cups with. So it just feels natural to kind of settle on a deck at this point in the format and going, yeah, I'll probably play this because it's the deck I think is the best overall or has better matchups, which I think is where we are.
I could also see myself playing Dragapult because, yeah, like I mentioned, I think it's the like the best deck. But it's like annoying to play against stuff like Zamazenta, and I'd rather play with Zacian against Dragapult than playing the Mirror, which is mostly because I have a lot of techs in my list, like Metal Goggles and stuff.
But again, Lysander's Labs, they put the goggles down. Okay, assuming they don't already have the Swell in play. But you go, Lysander's Labs, what goggles? Get rid of those. Don't care. The only issue is that if they play a Swell, then it's not as good. Because the reason why I went in was I was playing this Tool Scrapper, and I could never find the Tool Scrapper on the turn I needed it. Like, there was like a turn, I was like, okay, but if I get the spread off this turn, I'm fine. And I could never find it. So, kind of gave up trying to look for it. And I was like, okay, I'll just put two labs in instead of the power plants that I was playing.
Yeah, I think with Dragapult, I would play a list pretty close to Torts, just like, not many tricks, just consistency and stamps. It's just like a pretty good combo to win games, I think. But yeah, like those are my two favorites, but I think like the other decks are also fine. Like I just haven't really played much Picarom this format, and I don't know, when I played Picarom, I haven't been doing too hot with it. I don't know. Yeah, I still very much respect the deck because it's been like kind of the deck where I've been struggling the most against like playing. But yeah,
one of those formats where, you know, people normally complain about the state of the format, right, at this point when it's been out for so long, and then they're going, oh, but this deck is, one deck is too strong. I don't think I could say that with a straight face in this format, because we have five decks that are legitimately very good, and there's so much variety as a result.
Yeah, that's when everyone's complaining about Zacian being too dominant and Mill, I guess. And now we have five decks instead of two decks, which is, I guess, better, right?
And they all work in really different ways, which means it's not like, oh, this mechanic in and of itself is inherently too strong. This is one of those formats where I am very tempted, I probably will actually, is sit down and make a load of the old format decks, you know, like, but of this format. Just preemptively, I'm going, this is a format that if I want to say in a few years' time, oh, let's play a format, this might be one of the ones where I'd pick a deck from this, you know, like two decks from this, I think would be a nice collection to have.
Yeah, like, like not saying the format is like ridiculously good or anything, but I think it's fun to play. It has a decent amount of like a variety of decks, so yeah, not much reason to complain about.
On the note of not having anything to complain about, I think we should probably wrap up the episode there so that we can go and test, because we only have until Friday, and this is where I start panicking, going, I haven't decided yet. So, Robin, I'm not even going to ask you. I'm learning.
We did a mid-episode shout-out to Kevin, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. So Rob, you're trying to sneak the shout-out at him when I'm not even looking now. I want to give a shout out. It's going to be really weird if you're only on audio, but if you have watched the video and are on Twitch, you'll have noticed I have a lot less hair. So genuinely, shout out to the fact that I was able to go to the hairdressers and have a haircut, because honestly, it was getting ridiculous, and it feels so much nicer to not have what is effectively a mop on my head. So shout out to the fact that I can go to a hairdressers and Prestige in Lancaster, UK. Always being a really good at hairdressers, even if I couldn't have my my free coffee today because they're not allowed to serve coffee. But on that very bizarre note, thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. And hope you guys can tune in to some people playing the Players' Cup this weekend. And if not, tune in for the stream next Friday. And we will speak to you all next week.